Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you today, Lord God, and we thank you for this opportunity to come into your house, God, and to lift you up and praise, Father. And Lord God, we are amazed, Father, by you. God, how you've sent your Son, how Jesus came and he died for us. Father, we're very, God, undeserving of your love, Father, and how wide and how deep and how great it is, Lord. God, and we are so thankful this morning, Father, and I just pray that as we sing this next song, God, that everybody just, God, stand and lift up their hands, Father, and they would say, God, we are amazed by you, Father, and your love. In Jesus' name. You dance over me while I am unaware. You sing all around, but I never hear the sound. Lord, I'm a
Good to see you here today. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. It'd be Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Let me ask you a question. Is there something in your life that you depend on? Really, really depend on? And you would notice if it went missing? Think about it for a second. Maybe for some of you it's a tube of lipstick. Maybe for others it's your Bible. Maybe for someone else it's your car keys. Have you ever lost your car keys?
No.
I just so y'all know, she lied. Have you ever lost anything that was valuable to you, that something that you needed, that was important, that was pertinent to your daily success? Has there ever been anything that has just meant the world to you and you've lost it, but you didn't realize you lost it until you went looking for it? Have you ever done that before? So this past Saturday, not this Saturday, but Saturday week, I was mowing the yard. It was a nice Saturday. Was weed eating. Ran out of gas, so I needed gas. I loaded the gas tank up in the back of the truck, and I went to Pinson. There at Pinson, I pulled the gas tank out of the back of the truck. I opened it up. I put in my debit card, put my debit card back in my wallet, took my wallet, put my wallet on top of the gas pump. I did. And now you know the rest of the story. So from there, my mind's not thinking about my wallet anymore. It's thinking about putting gas in the gas can. So there I am. I'm filling the gas can up, 5 gallons. I'm pumping. I'm holding. I'm putting it in there. I'm looking at that ticker go by, tell me how much it's going to cost me. And I finally get it filled. And when it's filled, I put the top back on it. As I put the handle back in the pump, I put the top back on the can. I take the can. It's all I can do is to pick it up because it's heavy. And so I pick it up. I get it back in the truck. Caitlin comes out of the gas station at that point, and we get in the truck, and well, we're ready to go. And so we leave. But we leave something behind that's valuable to me, and I don't realize it for over an hour. So we get to the house, I fill up the lawnmower, the weed eaters, everything's ready to go, and I get to mowing. But all of a sudden, it smacks me in the face, and I remember that I had left my wallet on the gas pump in Pinson. You don't even know how frantic I was at that point, do you? If you've ever lost your wallet, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So here I am. I'm so frantic. I'm about to go crazy. I say, Caitlin, I've lost my wallet. I left it at the gas pump. We've got to go. And so, you know, I got in the truck, and there I am. I'm flying down the road. I don't want to tell on myself, but I was exceeding the speed limit. Right. I get to Pinson. I no one is there. So I pull right back where I parked. Been an hour and a half at this point, and it's gone. It is not there. It Houdini'd. It disappeared. I don't know where it magically, it was vanished. It's gone. My heart about jumped. I couldn't swallow. I couldn't breathe. It was bad. So I go in, I'm thinking maybe someone was gracious enough to see that a knucklehead like me forgot his wallet, and they knew that I would eventually be back after it. So I go inside and I ask, has anyone turned in a wallet? And they said, no. And my wallet wasn't there. And if someone turned your wallet in, then I'm sorry, that was a bad taste. If someone turned your wallet in, I'll keep it. You won't have, it'll be here. So a couple of days go by, my wallet hasn't appeared. It didn't show up anywhere. But Thursday, something wonderful happens. We get a letter in the mail from the Jackson Police Department. Someone loved me enough to turn my wallet in. Instead of them taking it back in the store, they took it to the Jackson Police Department. They saw my address. I was just down the road. They could have delivered it to me, but they took it to the gas company. They took it to the police station. The police station wrote me a letter. My phone number wasn't in there, but the address was. We got it. I had three different licenses in there, literally. Three different licenses were in there. Yeah. Tennessee driver's license, a second Tennessee driver's license that I had not cut up and thrown away. Then there was a third Tennessee driver's license that I had not cut up and thrown away. I guess I'm a hoarder. So when I finally received, I guess it was Thursday sometime, Miss Jerry, I know it was sometime Thursday, right, that I went to the police station. I have to wait about 30 minutes before finally someone helps me, and they bring my wallet up, and I'm so excited to see that it's my little wallet, and I wish I would have brought it in here, but see, I've already lost it again. But I see my wallet, and I open it up immediately, because the scary thing for me is that my debit card was in there. Hey, you'll appreciate this. The church credit card was in there. The Sam's Club card, the driver's license, the Social Security card of Brad Patterson was in there. So all day Monday, if you can imagine, Monday morning before I hit the road to Memphis to see Mr. Terry, I made about 14 phone calls to try and get some fraud alert protection over my Social Security card. But everything was in there, even the gas receipt. Everything was in there. You want to talk about praising King Jesus. It's been a long time since I'd been that excited to get something back. I mean, a long time. And so here it is, and I get my wallet back. And you don't realize that you need your wallet until it's time to pay for something. Or it's time for you to get your Social Security card out. I mean, and I needed it. And so this morning, we're going to look at a section of Scripture that's kind of, relates a little bit. There's something that you and I need that we don't know we need until we have it. And then we realize that there's been a whole life that we've lived that we haven't had this experience, that we don't know at this point what we would do if we didn't have it. And I'm talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What would you do? I'm thankful that I can't lose the Holy Spirit. Amen. But what would you do if you realize all of a sudden that he was gone? Be devastating, wouldn't it? So this morning, we're going to be in Acts chapter 1. And the scripture, remember, we're kind of looking at 40 days after Jesus had been resurrected in this ministry period. And here he is. Last week we talked about waiting on the Lord, because as Jesus was raised to life, he looked at the apostles and he told them, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. And then right here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we're going to see the promise is coming, and the promise of the Holy Spirit is something that's remarkable about this Holy Spirit that you and I just need. And when we get him, you don't want to lose him. You want to hang on to him. Amen. But I'm thankful, there's some theological things there. Thankfully, God holds on to us. We don't have to worry about losing him. But we can sure backslide and not live for King Jesus. But there are really four things that I want to share with you this morning concerning benefits of the Holy Spirit. So with that, I want to ask that you would stand in honor of the reading of God's Word, Acts chapter 1. Just simply verse 8. Listen to the scripture. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be, or you will be, a witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let me read this one more time. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the very end of the earth. We pray with me. Father in heaven, today in the magnificent name of Jesus, we approach your throne of grace and we think about the power that we possess through your Spirit. Father, I pray this morning that we would understand, that we would realize, that we would have that aha moment, that we really should depend upon you every day of our lives, for every breath that we take. And Father, maybe there's someone here this morning who's never really experienced the joy and the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray right now that today would be that day where they get it. Father, where they have that aha moment, where they understand their need and then their dependency upon you. So, Father, we just ask that you'd speak to us through your word today, that you and you alone be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, and so here it is. Jesus has been raised from the dead. He's alive. The tomb is empty. Jesus is no longer there. I'm thankful that my Jesus is no longer in the tomb. Amen? And so he's not there anymore. And we know that he's not there because he has been witnessed by, according to the scripture, more than 500 different people. That's testimony to me. Amen? That's testimony. And I know that my Jesus lives. But then he talks to the disciples and he tells them, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Wait for the promise of the Father. And they were in this waiting period. It was about 10 days that they were waiting for the promise of the Father. And here they are, they're waiting, and then all of a sudden they're gathered together. And as they're gathered together, they finally receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. But I love the scripture and what Acts says, and it's important that we get this. It says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. There's some important things that you need to know. And that is when you confess your sin, when you trust Jesus to be Lord of your life, you receive the promise of the Father. It's immediate. At that point, when you confess your sin and you invite Jesus to be Lord of your life, you receive the Holy Spirit. It's done. When you're sincere in that approach and you confess your sin, you got to understand there is no salvation outside of repentance of sin. And so when you do it, you got to make sure that you do it right the first time. Amen. But then to receive the power of the Holy Spirit is so life-changing. Life-changing. Some people have said, preacher, I've confessed my sin and I've asked Jesus to come into my heart, but this power that you're talking about, I don't really understand. I've not received any kind of power from God. I don't understand what you're talking about. And it may be that you'll never understand the power that you possess because you're not willing to spend time with God asking him to relinquish the power that is within you. So there are four things that I want to share with you this morning about the benefits of the Holy Spirit. Biblically, there are more than 50 ministries of the Holy Spirit. More than 50 ministries of the Holy Spirit. And I want to just share, just kind of give you an idea of what some of these are. Number one is creation. You understand, according to Scripture, that the Holy Spirit was there and had a part of creation. Just turn to Genesis chapter 1, read. You'll see that God the Spirit was there in creation. And in the pneuma, listen to this, when breathed into your nostrils the breath of life, that is the Holy Spirit's presence upon life itself. God the Holy Spirit did that. It's beautiful. It's wonderful when we see through the Word of God that this triune God that we serve, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is magnificent in all that He does. And so we see through the Scripture that He was there in the beginning, and that through Him you understand that He began to lead and to move those that He had called for certain tasks throughout the Old Testament. We see that God spoke to Noah, that He didn't have any instructions. He didn't know how to build an ark, but it was through the guidance of the Holy Spirit that He was able to do that. And you see, there's a lot of testimony throughout Scripture where the Holy Spirit's presence and power was overwhelming for the believer. And this morning, I want to share with you four benefits. I think you need to get this. Four benefits to this. Number one is this. What are these benefits? While there are over 50 ministries, I want to talk to you about these. There are even more benefits. You understand, this is not an all-exclusive list. Please understand that there's much more, but I need to share these with you this morning. Number one is this. Benefit of the Holy Spirit is that He sanctifies. What does that mean? That's a big church word, preacher. What does sanctify mean? So I want to share with you, it has a kind of a generic meaning of the state of proper functioning. The state of proper functioning. That something works the way its creator intended it to function. It works. So I have a pen in my pocket. Just sitting here, yes, it is a pen, but this pen is not doing the work that it was created to do. Can you see that? What is a pen created for? to write. And so this pen is not fulfilling its purpose until someone like me picks it up and begins writing. Brad. Look. B-R-A-D. I have very good penmanship, by the way. No, I don't. I can read that says Brad, but you probably can't. Now, how many of you wear glasses? How many of you here, raise your hand if you wear glasses. Wow. I wear glasses as well. But mine have been stepped on, and they sit on my face literally like this. I've tried to straighten them, but I can't. I'm not taking a torch to them yet, but that's next. So here it is. What are the purpose of your glasses? If those glasses are sitting on your nightstand, are they fulfilling the purpose for which they were created? Do you get it? Do you understand? Sanctification is this setting apart. It's so that you can fulfill the purpose for which God has created you. That's what sanctification is all about, understanding that. It's that you are a called out one, that you are literally set apart. So here it is, Cameron, because I like to pick on Cameron, he's easy. But he's over here and he's in the middle of these guys. So, and he's, if I pick him up and I bring him to sit over here all by himself, he has officially been set apart. Right? But it's to the work. Did I spit on you?
No.
It's to the work that you can go sit back over there. I want you to be with all of your friends, not just you and yourself. So you get that, right? It's that setting apart. I like to be set apart. I'm spitting all over the place this morning. Slow down? I can't slow down. It isn't in my DNA. So here we are. This sanctification, it's really cool. It's really cool to know that as a believer that I have been set apart to the purpose for which God has created me. It's amazing. I'm going to tell you, I am most fulfilled when I am proclaiming the gospel. There's a joy in my heart. There's an overwhelming peace in my soul that I get when I'm standing before the open Word of God, sharing what God has created me to share. It's amazing. The same thing is true for you. When you get that, when you understand that you are sanctified, that you are set apart for the work of ministry, the purpose that God has created you for, listen, whatever it is for you, you get this. It's about glorifying King Jesus with your life, with your whole life. And so this sanctification is about being set apart to holiness. Can you see that? Understanding that you're set apart, you're being made holy. That's what sanctification is. Listen to what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says. It says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, belief in the gospel, belief in Jesus Christ, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what the scripture says. From the very beginning, you were chosen in Jesus Christ for the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, you have choice in that. Understand. God died that all men might be saved. And it's up to you whether or not you want to confess your sin and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But you were chosen in Christ Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit bears witness to that. And this through sanctification by the Spirit. And the belief in the truth. And belief in the truth of God's Word. I think that's phenomenal to know that in the very beginning, when we think about it, we turn to our Bibles and it says right here in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. But that's just when time for you and I really began. There was a beginning even before the beginning of Genesis. You get that? Because there's never been a time when God was not. God has always been. Preacher, that's a sermon for a different day. It's not for today, but to see that God has always been. And from the very beginning, this beginning of creation, God understood that you and I were in need of a Savior. He understood that. I'm thankful for my Savior, amen? But this is what one of the benefits of the Holy Spirit is. He sanctifies me. And then Romans chapter 15, verse 16 says this, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be accepted, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Paul, in his being moved by God the Spirit, he understood that he had been set apart so that he could take the gospel to the Gentiles. In biblical times, to the dogs of the world. And that God had used Paul to take the gospel, and that the gospel would be sanctified, that the gospel would be set apart from any other book or any other religion. The Word of God has been sanctified, set apart. And it's through this sanctification that you and I understand that this is a holy Word. It is from the lips, from the mouth, from the heart of God. And so that sanctification, that setting apart, it's really phenomenal. Number two is this, because I've got three more to get to. And get this one, he guides. A benefit, he sanctifies, but he also guides. What do you mean? What do you mean guides? Have you ever been on a trip and you've needed directions? Yeah, there's probably not a single person in here with a driver's license that knows every place that he's going to travel and needs directions from someone or another. So here it is with you and I that we're getting ready to embark on a trip, on some kind of a journey, and we've never been there before. And in order for us to make it safely to our destination, we have to know the directions. We have to know how to get there. We have to have a guide, whether it's a map, whether it's your iPhone, whether it's the partner sitting next to you, or whether it's the man at the corner by the gas station. Doesn't make any difference. You have to have a guide. Someone must give you directions in order for you to know how to get to your destination. I love that. I love to know that through this life, I don't have to worry about wondering all the time, am I going in the right direction? As long as I'm doing the thing which God has created me for, I'm going in the right direction. It's about obedience. It's about understanding that God desires to guide you, but you have to allow Him to guide. You have to allow Him to lead, because if you resist continually, what's going to happen? You're going to continue to go your own way. So just so that you can, I'm a visual guy, you know that, resist. So I can't lead this guy if he won't let me, can I? And I'm trying, but he's pulling against me, and so you can't resist. You have to be led by God. You trust Him. If you trust Him, you're going to allow Him to lead you. Through the Scripture, we see there several occasions, many, many occasions where God the Spirit led. He led Moses. 40 years, right? Moses led who? Biblical quiz. Led the Israelites. And what do you think those guys were thinking when Moses first came into Egypt, back into Egypt, and he began performing all of these miracles? What do you think those guys, what was running through their minds? It's really hard to know, isn't it? They were probably thinking that this guy had lost his mind. And then they began to see through the power of the Holy Spirit that he was the leader that God has prepared for them. And then he led them. 2.5-week journey takes 40 years, though. But he did lead them into the wilderness, and then finally they made it across the Jordan. But I like that. Listen to the Scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. This is what the Scripture says. It's pretty cool. It says, talking about being led and understanding what I shared with you a while ago, that this being the Word of God, it's perfect. No error in it. Now, I'll get to that in a minute. Listen, it says, for prophecy never came by the will of man. Prophecy is God's word. Prophecy is a way to say that God spoke to the people by a prophet. That's really what this prophecy is all about. And so, according to the Scripture in 2 Peter 1, verse 21, for prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You get that? They were guided. They were directed. They spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that cool? That you and I have evidence of the love of God in the palms of our hands as men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, or they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's cool, isn't it? You think about that. All of the writers of the Word of God, and it's like someone guided them. It fits together so well. That's neat. When you read it from front to back, it starts in the beginning with creation, and then it ends with the new creation. I mean, God is so sovereignly in control of the work of this Word that you see Him on every page if you'll just pay attention to what you're looking at. It's really a beautiful picture of how God loves us and He desires to guide us through His Word. And that's one of the areas that you need to allow God to guide you more. When you read the Word of God, we read it and we read it so nonchalantly that we just do it so that we can say, I have done my reading for the day. But what if you would take your time and you would slow down enough that as you're reading and you're praying kind of at the same time, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. What does that mean, Lord? But I shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon me. How does this principle apply to my life? I shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon me. And then you said, and then I'm going to be a witness to you in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. So how? Lord, teach me. What does this mean for me? How does this apply for my life? And then you began to see through the guidance and the illumination of the Spirit of God that He begins to just show you what His Word means and what He's talking about, how you're to impact lostness in the world. You have an opportunity to impact the lostness in the world, but it's to be led by the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verse 13 says this, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Wow! So do you think that you're going to pick this book up and you're just going to get it over the course of one reading? No, if you do, let me just say you are completely anointed by the Holy Spirit in a way that I have never seen. Because I have to study and I have to pray and I have to meditate on the Word of God. But even that is pretty awesome when I do it. Isn't it pretty awesome when you do it? To allow God's Word to be illuminated in your heart, so that you can begin to experience what He was talking about, what he meant, how this principle applies for you. Because one thing I need to share with you is the Bible can never mean what it never meant. If it didn't mean it back then when it was written for that specific culture and that specific people group, then you can bet your bottom dollar that it doesn't mean something different today. The Bible can never mean what it never meant, but it means what it always meant. Did I confuse you at all? That was my intent. So I like this. However, when He, the Holy Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. Powerful. So He sanctifies and then He guides, but then He bears fruit. He bears fruit. Have you ever played a sport? Yeah, most of you have at one time or another played a sport. You can, in high school, most of the time can just kind of go to the coach and say, Coach, I want to play, and you show up and you're kind of just a part of the team. And it's a wonderful thing. And then He gets you into practice and He starts running you through certain drills, whether it's basketball, baseball, or football, whatever sport it is. And as you're beginning to run through these drills, if He sees potential and talent with you and He thinks that you're going to fit in a specific position or a certain position, then He's going to pull you, He's going to sanctify you, He's going to take you, and He's going to put you over here in this position, and then He's going to begin to guide you in this position. As He guides you in this position, you're going to begin to bear fruit. You're going to get better with every practice. And as you continue to practice, as you continue to improve, you're beginning to bear fruit. And the coach sees that fruit in you. And as he sees that fruit in you, he's going to use you more and more in that position to get the ball in your hands or to block, whatever it is, more and more. So first of all, you see that, right? You're sanctified. You're set apart for a specific position. And then you're guided, you're taught, you're led, and you learn and you grow. And then as you're led by the coach, you got to understand that you've got to do some things on your own if you really want to get better, right? And then you begin to apply all of those things that you learn, and then you begin to bear fruit. What happens if you don't produce fruit? Let me show you. It's pretty cool. Then this sanctification that had taken place. Now this doesn't happen in the spiritual sense, but in a sports team, if you're not producing fruit after you've been sanctified, then you're picked up, you're carried back over here to the bench, you're put on the bench, somebody else that's on the bench is picked up, they're sanctified, they're set apart, they're carried over here, and they're put in that position so that they can begin to bear fruit. Or does it work that way in the spiritual realm as well? Well, let's just see what the scripture says about this. John chapter 15 verse 2 says this: every branch in me, understand that's the sanctified, that's the saved, says every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. It's what the scripture says. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Yesterday, I spent a large portion of the morning pruning trees. They were just kind of all over the place. They were, some of them, they're beautiful trees, right? They're created by the Creator. They're masterpieces. They're wonderful. But you know, if they're left to themselves, they'll have some rotten places on them as bugs get in. And if you don't cut that particular limb off, then the bugs will continue to eat up the rest of the tree. And then the tree will eventually die, or animals, or whatever it is. And so there were many, many branches yesterday that I went up with a chainsaw, and that they were eaten up or they were dead from whatever reason, and I cut those off. I pruned them. The reason I cut those off is so that the rest of the tree could be healthy, and that it could begin to grow, and that it could begin to produce the fruit that it was created to produce. It's the same thing for you, and it's the same thing for me. We must bear fruit, and there's a pruning process that takes place. And sometimes the pruning isn't something that we really enjoy, is it? But the pruning is important, because without the pruning, then we can't bear more fruit for the glory of the Creator. And we have to be pruned. And so here it is. If you and I, we're going to live and we're going to bear fruit, then we've got to understand how to walk by the Spirit. Because it's not always an easy thing. We just assume that after we become a believer, that everything is going to fall into place and we're going to have a perfect, wonderful life. And that's not the case, is it? No, because we have decisions to make to the glory of God, and then everybody else around you has to make their own decisions for the glory of God or not for the glory of God. And so we're in this world, and really all you can worry about is you. You get to this age, and you are concerned with your spiritual walk. Now, we teach and we train and we disciple others, but there comes a point when they have to decide that they desire discipleship. And so here it is. I love this about Galatians chapter 5, right? You know the scripture. And it's what a believer, it's what a fruit bearer looks like. It says this: but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Starts with a good one, doesn't it? Fruit of the Spirit is love. So if I'm a believer and I'm bearing fruit, then love is going to be evident in my life. Amen? 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 Thank you. Amen. And then it goes on and says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, but also joy. Love's important, isn't it? But let me ask you, as a believer, do you have joy in your heart? Are you joyful? Because if Jesus is Lord of your life and you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit, then you must be joyful. There has to be joy in your heart. You're going to have hard times. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have tough times and bad situations. But joy comes from knowing that the presence of God keeps you till eternity. and for eternity. Isn't it great? Isn't it, it's a beautiful picture. It says, so, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then the scripture goes on, it says this, and against such things there is no law. But I can see it in you. Matter of fact, scripture also says that my spirit bears witness to your spirit. And his spirit bears witness to our spirit. So if you're a believer, I should be able to tell that you've been sanctified. Because if you're a believer and you've been sanctified and you're allowing God the Spirit to guide you, then you have to understand there's going to be fruit evident in your life. Are you a fruit bearer? Are you a fruit bearer this morning? My prayer is that you're able to say yes to that. And then the last thing that I want to share with you this morning. Listen, again, these 4 points are not all inclusive. Many, many others can be added to this. Over 50 ministries, biblical ministries of the Holy Spirit. But this last one is one that I wanted to share with you for benefits of the Holy Spirit. This last one is this. He seals. He seals. What does that mean? Biblical times, a seal was a guarantee. That's what a seal was in biblical times. A king or someone would have a signet ring, and it would be their family crest. It would be the symbol of the king. He'd have this ring on. He would take it off, and then they would melt wax onto an envelope or onto any kind of an edict that had been written for the people. And we know that it would be from the king, or they knew that it would be from the king, if the king's seal was on that paper. It meant that it was official. It was a guarantee that this was from the proper source. That's how it is with you and with me. And here's, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, it shares regarding the Holy Spirit. It says, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Then he goes on to say this, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the acquired possession of it to the praise of his glory? Wow. So it says in this particular scripture that there's the seal of the Holy Spirit, and then that the Holy Spirit is a guarantee of your eternal inheritance. I don't know about you, but I like that. I like knowing that God has placed a seal upon me. I like knowing that I belong to Him. I like knowing that I'm the real deal. I like knowing that nobody can be me, and that's okay, but that I am sealed and sanctified and guided by the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful to know that. Amen. Are you to have that showing on you, to have that seal stamped, that it's a seal of approval through the blood of Jesus? Do you have that seal? Do you have that guarantee? That's my prayer for you. I love this scripture. So according to the passage of the seal of the Holy Spirit, it takes place. Listen to this. It's pretty cool. At the very moment you confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, you don't have to wait for it. You get it immediately. Just read the scripture. It's pretty cool stuff. So here it is, and we talk about this Greek word and all of its meaning, and it really just means that you're sealed with a mark. Pretty awesome to be sealed with a mark that represents King Jesus. Amen? It's pretty awesome to know that this seal is an indication of my internal inheritance. It's pretty awesome to know that because of this seal, I am going to bear fruit. And if I'm not bearing fruit, then according to Scripture, then God's going to call me home. That's the Scripture says. It's what God's Word says, and I'm thankful. I like this. And so quickly, I want to share 3 things with you very, very quickly about this seal. Number one, why you have this seal? The Holy Spirit is the believer in the believer's life. It helps guarantee that you are a child of God. That's what this seal is. It helps guarantee that you are a child of God. Romans 8 verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit Himself. All right, number two, the seal of the Holy Spirit serves as a mark that you truly belong to Christ. You know why? Because there are no counterfeit believers going to enter into heaven. And so it really sets you apart. So 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with the price. So glorify God in your body. It's a mark that you truly belong to God. And then third, it's the seal of the Holy Spirit protects against tampering of attack. Yeah. Yeah. But because you think about it, why do we put things in the safe? Because they're valuable and we don't want anyone else to have it. But in this world, is it possible for people to break into that safe and steal whatever treasure is in there? Yeah? But with you, you need to understand, because the Holy Spirit resides or dwells within your heart, within your soul, that Satan, that the demons, that they can't enter in and they can't lead you astray. Now, by your own devices, by your own ways, you can be led astray. But no one can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No one. Not the devil, not his demons, or anyone else. It's all up to you. And if you're if the mark is on you, then you've got to understand, then you must be a true believer. I want to tell you, let me give you a quick example or an illustration of this. I'm not a cowboy, right? I live in the country, but because I live in the country doesn't make me a cowboy. I can wear a cowboy hat, I can wear boots. That does not make me a cowboy. Does that make me a cowboy? No. Just haven't it been 2 or 3 years since I got on the bull, brother? Yeah, 2 or 3 years. So when Tracy and I first got married, I was intelligent enough to ride a bull about 4 times. I thought I just wanted to try my hand at it, see if I could hold on. And I could hold on as long as I could grip that rascal around the neck like this, and my head was down. And so when his head went up, I was just going with it. But you can't do that in a rodeo. In a rodeo, you have to put your strong arm in there, and you have to hold on. You got to throw your other arm back like this, and then you kind of go with the buck. You got to go with the flow. And so the longest I stayed on any animal was about 0.8 seconds. Listen, 0.8, they want you to ride it like 8 seconds, and like 0.8 seconds is it. Every time that gate was open and I was on that bull's back and I came out of that gate, I'm like, nah, not this time, and I let go. So that's what I did at the rodeo. And he put me on a baby. I mean, it was like this big. I mean, my feet dragged the ground on it. And that thing come out of that pen, and I'm like, nope, it's moving too fast for me. I let go. So here, listen, I can live in the country. I can wear cowboy boots. I can put a hat on. That does not make me a cowboy. What makes you a cowboy is if you live the cowboy life. And I'm going to tell you, the cowboy life is not for me. You know what makes you a child of God is if you live the child of God life. And so here it is. This is my question as we're closing, and we talked about the benefits of the Holy Spirit. And there's just 4 that I've shared this morning. But are you a child of God? Do you possess these marks, these benefits of the Holy Spirit that I've shared with you? You understand? Have you been sanctified? Have you been set apart? In your life, have you been set apart? Are you allowing God to guide you through His Word? Are you allowing God to lead you so that you can fulfill the ministry that He has created you for? Are you? Are you bearing fruit? Are you living your life in such a way that you're bearing fruit that I can see, or someone else can see, the marks of Christ in you? Do you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness? Do you possess those qualities? Because if you do, if you've confessed Jesus as Lord, if you've confessed your sin and you've trusted Jesus to be Lord of all, and you believe that God the Father has raised Jesus from the dead, if you believe that, then you'll be saved. And then if you believe that, then you will bear the mark of the Holy Spirit, the seal the guarantee. So maybe you're here this morning and you're like, preacher, I know that I'm saved. I know that I've confessed my sin. I know that I believe that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. I know that I've invited Him to come into my heart and to be my Lord and Savior. But preacher, there's been a time in my life that I've just not been honoring God with my decisions. And maybe that's you here this morning. And I want to say it's okay, because we all trip and we fall into sin occasionally. But you cannot live there as a child of God. You got to get out. And so this morning, if you're living there, I want to tell you something. You got to get out. Climb out. Reach your hand up to King Jesus and say, Lord, here I am. Lift me up out of this murky, miry clay. Get me out of this mess. And then you got to begin to live for Him. And then it is maybe that you're here this morning and that you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe you've gone to church for a long time, or you've been visiting for a while, but you know for sure that if you died today that you wouldn't go to heaven. Listen, that doesn't have to be you. You can know for sure that you're going to heaven today if you'll confess your sin to Jesus and ask Him to be Lord of your life. So maybe that's you. Maybe you're ready to do that today. And we're going to have an invitation time. Guys, come on up. We're going to have an invitation. And during this invitation, it's an opportunity for you to make a decision. Maybe you just need to come and you just need to pray. You need to ask God to give you strength. Whatever that is, that's okay. You come and you do that. But maybe you're here this morning and you're ready for life change, eternal life change. Today, will you respond? Will you get up, you come forward, you talk to me, preacher, today I want to invite Jesus to be Lord of my life. If that's you, then we're going to have this time so that you can respond today. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, Lord, today in the matchless mighty name of Jesus, we come before your throne and we thank you for allowing us this time to gather together to study a portion of your word, to have you speak to our hearts. Father, this morning, you're calling. Lord, as you call, I pray that you would give that individual or those group of people, that you would give them the wisdom and the courage to stand up and stand out. Father, for that person that might desire today to know you personally as Lord and Savior, burden them for the things of you. Speak to their heart. Let them know that if they confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that you have raised Him from the dead, that they will be saved. Father, today, this moment, we give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you to stand this morning. You come today.